Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is Dr. Podcast again with my first official episode. And thank you, everybody, for the very amazing and overwhelming response to my trailer podcast that was about microbiology only. And according to different sorts of queries I got, let me tell you one thing. It's not only about microbiology, right? But let us keep it in a very organized way so that we complete different topics in a subject in a very systematic way. All right. So today what we are going to do is, it's a very simple topic, but some of the questions of these simple topics are very twisted in the clinical cases form, which makes the problem solving difficult for us. So what are we going to do today is, what are the, this particular topic of microbiology is mycology or fungology, right? So what are we going to discuss today is, that is fungology or mycology, okay? So how are fungus divided? I'm not talking about that reproduction thing. I'm talking about the classification. How come they are classified, right? So the important thing, the way they are classified is on the basis of morphology, right? They are simply classified on the morphology. I would request you to have a paper pencil or your microbiology notes if you have, because this particular classification is the basis of the fungus nomenclature and fungus classified. All right, the first one is yeast. Yeast, LV, as we all know, is a globular sort of unicellular thing, which is a organism grows with budding, right? There are examples of true yeast, that is Cryptococcus and Saccharomyces. All right, the second is yeast like, that is they grow like, they have yeast like structure and they grow like yeast, but while budding the bud fails to separate, and on that unseparated bud the other bud grows, and on that unseparated bud the other bud grows, like, so which forms a pseudo hyphae. So many of you might be asking, what is a hyphae? Hyphae is a sort of long, slender, filamentous structure commonly seen in fungus, right? It is a long, slender, filamentous structure commonly seen in fungus. Okay, and hyphae can be, and on the basis of hyphae, we are also going to classify. But let us be confined to our boundaries. The first one is yeast, other one is yeast-like. And in the yeast, like, if the budding fails to separate, it's going to be a pseudo hyphae, right? It's going to be a pseudo hyphae. And the pseudo hyphae and true hyphae are a bit different structures. And I would request everybody of you to view these images on Google, that how come a pseudo hyphae is different from a true hyphae, because it will be very difficult for me to explain the difference on the audio channel, right? So I'll let you know what sort of things you are supposed to view on Google. The third sort of morphology is molds. Molds is what you're talking about, hyphae. Hyphae are what? They are sort of a cylindrical, long, cylindrical, they're cylindrical, long, and branched structures, right? Branched. So in these branched structures, they are divided into two types, okay? The one is aseptate and other one is septate. And these organisms with hyphae are called molds, all right, molds. So these hyphae, they can be septate or aseptate. That means they have equal dividing nodes between the branches and between the throughout the lens, and they might not have, all right. So when they are aseptate or without any sort of separation, with very less or no separation, what they are called as? They are called as cenocytic. That's not important, but examples are important. Aseptate molds are, which are really important for us to be aware, is Rhizopus, Mucor, Listhymia, which was earlier called as Epsidia. All right, Conidobolus. These four examples are really important because diseases are seen in our notes also. Rhizopus, Mucor, Listhymia, which was earlier called as Epsidia, and the other one is Conidiobolus. These were the aseptate ones, okay? The septate ones are, they're slender, but they are more slender, they're more thinner than aseptate ones. The septate ones, with divisions, they are more thinner, and what the good thing is, they are also divided into two things on the basis of melanin presentation, right? Melanin. So what are the good examples we're supposed to remember with the melanin wale molds or melanin wale septate molds? The one thing is Madurella, which cause everybody know mycetoma, and Piedra. All right, Piedra are of two types, white Piedra and black Piedra. So this one is a white Piedra we are talking about, and what all we will discuss later. And when melanin is absent, they are called hyaline septate mold. And when melanin is present, they are called pheoid. All right, when melanin is present, they are called pheoid, and when it's absent, it's called hyaline septate mold. What are the examples? It is full of examples, man. It's Aspergillus, Fusarium, Penicillium, Acrimonium, Pseudo Elischeria, and Dermatophytes. All right, the Deuterophytes. It is Dermatophytes. If I am mistaken in the pronunciation, let me repeat it again. It's Aspergillus, Fusarium, Penicillium, Acrimonium, and Dermatophytes. All right, this is the morphology. And the third morphology is Trimorphic. Trimorphic, why? Because they show a sort of differential morphology on the temperature thing. One is room temperature and another is the body temperature. So they show a yeast form at the body temperature, that is 37 degrees Celsius, and hyaline septate forms, that is, they do not produce melanin. This is something important. So ultimately, melanin producing molds are only two, Madurella and Piedra, and we can remember it by the disease that both produces a black colored pigmented disease. All right, so now let me discuss the examples. Histoplasma, Blastomycosis, Coccidioides, Paracoccidioides, Sporothrix shanki, it's a Rose Gardner's disease, and Penicillium marneffei. Penicillium marneffei is now renamed as Telleromyces marneffei. Kindly remember that this thing, Penicillium marneffei, is now renamed as Telleromyces marneffei. Telleromyces, Telleromyces. Tellero or Tellerimyces marneffei. Alright, so this was the basic classification which we were supposed to study amongst the fungology. And now let's discuss in a short span about the different sort of infections. Okay, but before this, should I discuss about the sort of reproduction thing? I think I should. So fungus produced by two types of reproduction, that is sexual and asexual. Sexual reproduction are called fungi imperfecti, and they are also called as telomeres. But the production which is not on the basis of sexual spores, it is called fungi imperfecti or endomorphs. Telomeres and endomorphs. Okay, so I'll just take name about different spores. That's all for the podcast thing, but you need to cover it through and through with your notes. So the perfect tire, ascospores, pseudospores, zygospores. All right, and what all which do not reproduce with sexual spores are not yet identified, they are called deuteromycetes. So what about non-sexual spores? Non-sexual spores is blastospore, all right, which is seen in the yeast sort of thing, sporangiospores, arthrospores, conidias, and chlamydiospore. I know these sort of words are very difficult to remember on the podcast thing, but I would request you to write down these words, especially these asexual things, and just have an image, because these days image based questions are very important, and these images are very history clinching images. As you can see these images, they can help you in diagnosing the case instantly. Alright, so that's the thing. And now let's see something about the cultivation. What are we going to see about the cultivation and steno? Firstly, what are we going to see is about staining. The staining are dependent on two important things. The first is not two important things, I'm sorry, are two different procedures. The one is KOH mount, wet mounts, other one is the negative staining. And normally what we stain is the other sort of stain. So important, one of them is a fluorescent stain. So calcofluor is a fluorescent staining, all right. And this KOH and LPCB, LBCB is lactophenol cotton blue. These KOH and LBCB are wet mounds. Alright, that means the skin scrappings or nail scrappings can be taken, and on mixing with the solution, they can prepare a mound which can be seen on a which can be seen on microscopes. Alright, Mucicarmin is for Cryptococcus on a tissue specimen, and an Alcyon blue also. The Mucicarmin and Alcyon blue are used for the Cryptococcus and tissue specimen. But if I am taking any sort of Cryptococcus thing on a blood sample or a CSF sample, I need a negative stain, and that is NDIM. All right. The best method to stain any sort of fungus is Gomori methamine silver staining. It stains green in color. All right. This is the thing. Now let us talk something about the culture media. There are different sort of culture media, but most of the fungus grow with Sevarod dextrose agar. Most of the culture media grows with Sevarod dextrose agar. Alright, and for the dimorphic fungi, important is brain heart infusion agar. If you need to form the species identification of Aspergillus, you need to have that Zipac dox medium. And cornmeal. Cornmeal is a sort of nutritionally differentiated media which is going to help us in later on in other things. And how come? We'll see it very soon. And Niger seeds. Niger seeds agar, it's also called as bird seed agar. It is importantly for Cryptococcus. Alright. So that's the thing. Now other classification, what are we going to see is that's going to be a superficial mycosis, subcutaneous mycosis, and deep systemic mycosis, right? So these are different type of mycosis we're going to see, but I'm not going to go into much detail into it because these are sort of learning things and we can do it easily. So let me straight away jump into Tinea versicolor, caused by Malassezia furfur or globosa, and also called as Petrosporum ovale. Hyper or hyperpigmented macules can be seen with scaling, and these macules, they are not exactly macules, they're a sort of generalized part of thing on scale and back, on scales on chest and back, and these scales are scrapped up for making a KOH mount, which forms a spaghetti meatball appearance or a banana and grape appearance. Importantly, other thing is, if you take up scales on Sevarod dextrose agar, it won't grow because it is a lipophilic thing. So you need to add olive oil also. So after adding olive oil, it will give you a fried egg colonies. Mark my words, they are going to give you fried egg colonies. Scales plus woodlime examination is going to give you golden yellow fluorescence. Treatment, what are we going to give is ketoconazole and selenium sulfide. Alright, same sort of thing, it's seen in a very macular form, and especially in the palms and soles. It is seen especially in the palms and soles, that is Tinea nigra. It is called first by Horta Wernicke, Hortaea Wernicke. Alright, so that's the thing. These are solitary black macules. They're solitary, that means a single macule on palms. You can have a Google imaging. All these things which we are discussing, kindly have a Google image if you're not having. That will make you learn with a good sort of orientation. Okay. Piedra. Now what are we going to talk something about is Piedra. Piedra, whenever you think about Piedra, make sure that it is all about hairs. What are we going to see? They are going to target hairs and hairs and hairs. And let me tell you, the first primary treatment for Piedra is shaving. Because the most of the times where it takes place is either axillary hairs or pubic hairs. Most commonly is pubic hairs. Alright, so these things. White. There are two types of Piedra, white Piedra and black Piedra. Alright, the black Piedra is caused by Piedra horti. And white Piedra is caused by Trichosporon bigelli. A small mnemonic for you guys, for us, that is bijli, that is lightning. It looks white, right? So bijli is white, therefore white Piedra. All right. I know it might be a sort of a bit of stupid mnemonic, but that's important, right? So this is the thing. And one more thing. In the black Piedras, we will be able to see hard gritty nodules. There will be hard gritty nodules, brown in color. But in white Piedra, there will be soft nodules, soft small nodules of white, literally white in color, or very bright, not bright exactly, but white in color. So the first treatment is shaving. If shaving cannot be possible, for example, for the females on head, then we'll start with oral terbinafine. But for the white Piedra, topical azoles to be taken, and for 2 months it's to be taken, right? That's for the Piedra. Now it's time for the dermatophytes. Yes, dermatophytes where did we discuss dermatophytes? In the septate molds. Yes, they were septate molds without melanin. Okay, so dermatophytes can be divided into three types: trichophyton, microsporum, and epidermophyton. And all of these have all of these form a macroconidia and microconidia. What is these conidias? You can have a look. And these conidias are of a very peculiar sort of things. Okay, if I make an imaginary, not an imaginary but a descriptive link, all of these form the different sort of conidias. Tricho. Tricho is a sort of pencil shaped or cylindrical, right? Tricho is just like resembling to the hair structure, right? Tricho. So it can be used as a pencil shape or cylindrical. Alright. Whereas other is microsporum. Microsporum makes a macroconidia of spindle shape, and epidermophyton makes it of club shape. When you'll see the images, you'll automatically be able to get a link. So the other mnemonic, these are keratin dependent. So they are very keratophilic fungus. And how come we are going to remember these things are by two mnemonics. The one is HMT and other one is NET, NET. What is HMT? H stands for hair, M stands for microsporum, and T stands for trichophyton. Okay, and NET, where N stands for nails, E stands for epidermophyton, and T stands for trichophyton. Yes, it's for trichophyton, right? So, and with the third thing which is involved by these is skin, and skin is involved with every sort of thing like trichophyton, microsporum, and epidermophyton, right? So these are the things very important. Now let us look something about Tinea capitis. There are different sort of infections, so let me talk about these. Tinea capitis, Tinea barbae, Tinea corporis, Tinea unguam. Tinea corporis is mainly seen in the non-hairy region of the body. Tinea unguam, Tinea manum, Tinea cruris, which involves the groins, and Tinea pedis, which is athlete's foot, and most commonly is on the fourth wave. Not the fourth finger, the fourth wave. Alright, these things. Now let us talk something about Tinea capitis. It has two sort of appearances. One is Kyrian, another one is Favus. Favus is due to, kindly have a look, Kyrian is a very boggy inflammation. It's a sort of bump or lump sort of thing on that particular area, and it's very boggy and it's very, very ugly to watch. Whereas if you talk about Favus are dense crustaceans over scale. They are dense crustaceans. They are caused by trichophyton schonlin. And when it is about Kyrian, it is caused by trichophyton volation. It's a painful also. Yes, this is something I missed out. It's a painful boggy swelling. Most of the infections of Tinea are caused by trichophyton mentagrophytes and Tinea rubrum. Alright, these are two most common causes of any sort of Tinea infection. Kuch bhi utha lo aap. Theek hai? Kuch bhi utha lo. These are the most common causes. So how come they're differentiated? The mentagrophyte, it is urease positive. Alright, and it also gives the hair perforation test to be positive. This is something really important, which Tinea rubrum is not able to give. Alright, that's the thing. And how come urease test is seen? The yellow color converted into pink color. Alright, this is something important to be noted down. So, and now let me tell you one more thing. If any sort of fungal infection gives out the allergic reaction, it's never going to be on the site of lesion. It's always going to be away from the site of lesion, especially in the dermatophytes. Alright, so this is the thing. Very important. We're supposed to see. So most commonly causing lesions were rubrum and mentagrophytes, which are mainly differentiated by these things. Macroconidia we already discussed, and the Kyrian things we already discussed, right? So let's move ahead. I think I should continue with these sort of things, but what should we continue with? Should we continue with normal sort of fungo or what? Let me think. Let's take up Cryptococcus. It is something more of an importance. because Cryptococcus is something it's casually asked, and they're very fond of asking Cryptococcus. All right. So let us see what it is. What are we going to cover about Cryptococcus? It's going to be very short and sweet. All right. Cryptococcus is something, a capsule bearing agent. All right. Can be seen on pigeon feces, and they generally attack immunodeficient patients. Okay. They grow at 37 degrees Celsius, and they bear a lacase activity. Lacase is a toxin produced by them. They are most common cause of meningitis in HIV patient, and they are most common cause of neurological deficit in HIV patient after toxoplasma. All right, after toxoplasma, toxoplasma is the most common cause of neurological deficit in HIV patient. All right, these are the things. There is another category of Cryptococcus which is called Cryptococcus cattei. Why I'm telling you this? Because Cryptococcus cattei is something which targets the immunocompetent patients. It targets immunocompetent patients. Cryptococcus neoformans is something. When Cryptococcus neoformans, what we were studying is, that is strain A and B. That is the normally what we study is. They can be. They have a three sort of outcomes during the infection. The first outcome is, agar immunocompromised hai, it will get the infection and show the symptoms. Agar immunocompetent hai, there are two things. One is the infection itself is going to be wiped off by the immunity, and other one is the body is not able to wipe off the infection because of intermittent immunity, and this infection is now latent and will manifest whenever the immunity falls like hell. Alright, this is something. And the diagnosis can be done on the basis of two things, the latex card agglutination and PCR. These can be used in the blood and CSF, and India ink staining can also be used. But Alcyon Blue and Mucicarmine can be taken for tissue samples. One more thing, this Cryptococcus, apart from Cryptococcus, what are we going to see is any other dimorphic fungi, Cryptococcus dimorphic fungi and Pneumocystis zirovecae. All of these cause disease through aerogenous root, and then they disseminate. So the first site of infection is going to be lungs every time, and especially in Cryptococcus, the most common migration is meningitis. Whereas the second most common migration, if the meningitis is not given, is skin. Skin is the second most common migration that is important to be taken care about. All right, and after skin, it's going to be prostate, bones, and different sites. Virulence factors, we already study, one is capsule, other is lacase. Lacase is producing melanin. This melanin helps to evade the host response, right? Samples for diagnosis we have already seen. And one more thing, on the blood testing, on the serology testing, it will show the anti-capsular antibodies are seen. But let me tell you very, very, very promptly that these anti-capsular antibodies are not at all protective. They're just a finding, they're not at all protective, right? So treatment, what are we going to give a treatment for? No CNS manifestations, we're going to give fluconazole. For the prophylaxis, we're going to give fluconazole. But if it is a cryptococcal meningitis, we're going to give amphotericin B with fluocytosine. All right, this is the thing. So this was something about Cryptococcus. Now it's time to discuss something about Pneumocystis, I suppose, because that's very important. Pneumocystis zirovecae, they are also the sort of infections which can be seen in immunocompromised patients, right? The one more thing which I wanted to say is in the earlier morphologies, it was considered to be a protozoa because it consists of cyst and trophozoite. So in the new generation questions, it can be that the Pneumocystis carinii or Pneumocystis zirovecae resembles two protozoa due to presence of what? So it is cysts and trophozoites. And one more thing, that it has no response to antifungals. It is fungus proof. And why it is so? Because they lack ergosterone, and most of the antifungals act on this principle. So Pneumocystis carinii, they are caused by what sort of thing? The infective state, it is the cyst inhalation, first thing. Other thing what I want to say is, I already discussed this immunocompromised state, but the CD count should be less than 200. That is primary immunodeficiency, hematological malignancy, etc. and malnourishment. In fact, the first case of Pneumocystis zirovecae was seen in a malnourished patient, right? And what are they going to cause? Pneumonia, I know everybody knows it, it causes pneumonia, but what is the specific name? It's a plasma cell pneumonia, right? It's a plasma cell pneumonia. And it is a sort of, it's not a sort of parenchymal pneumonia, it is a sort of interstitial pneumonia. It's a sort of interstitial pneumonia. And there are different samples can be taken for the testing. The one is induced sputum, other one is biopsy can be taken, but the best is bronchoalveolar lavage. Alright? Bronchoalveolar lavage. And which is visualized under gomorrheumethamine stain. Alright? And let me tell you about one thing. Pneumocystis xerovecae is a sort of TB infection. How come it is sort of a TB infection? Let me clear this again because before it creates any sort of controversies. It is a ubiquitous infection. That means all of us, all of my listeners and everybody of us is already infected with ubiquitous. It is present everywhere. Alright? But, and especially it occurs in childhood. So, in most of us, there is already colonies are present. Alright. So, that's the thing. One more thing which I want to tell you is, it can, when the person is infected, it can show a transmission between person to person. That means it can be contagious. One more thing. When I am taking a biopsy, what are the findings that I'm going to see? The first is foamy exudates in alveoli, but do not forget, even on getting foamy exudate, it is an interstitial lung disease. And on the infiltration, the mononuclear cells in the interstitiums can be seen. Alright, mononuclear infiltration in interstitium. Alright, treatment, we are aware, it is cotrimoxazole, prophylaxis is cotrimoxazole, but in severe cases, what are we going to give is pentamidine in the very severe cases and sulfallergy patients. Alright. So this was about pneumocystis xerovecae, and I hope you got a good sort of exposure to what we discussed today. And I hope it will help you, especially the basic morphology which I discussed. And I would request you to watch up images while listening this podcast, because listening will make the things going into your mind, and watching it with images, it will make the things very amazing for you guys, right? So that's what, that was the thing. One more thing I wanted to discuss again for the cryptococcus. Cryptococcus is a urease positive. Capsular serotype is present. That means it has capsules as well as it is a true yeast. It is a true yeast. All right. So guys, don't forget. And if you find this podcast amazing, I would request you to forward it to different other needy people, especially the FMGs and the students which are in a preparing state, in a early or late preparing state, because I'm here just to cover the important topics, not the all topics which are very easy and common topics. So till then, I'll search for some new topics. Hope it won't be a micro, or if it is going to be a micro thing, it will be more of a parasito thing, or a helminthology, or a viro. Let's see. So till then, study hard, guys. Exams are on our heads, and everybody of us wants to prove that yes, we are capable. So let's do it. Let's prove it. This is something really important for us, for everybody of us, whether it is NEET, PG, AIMS, SIPMER, PGI, FMG, anything. All right. Best of luck, guys. Take care. Goodbye.